Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Debug. You know we belong together. You and I forever and ever. No matter where you are, you're my movie star. And from the very first movie I saw you, there was such emotion. Walking on air, just to know,
just to know,
you are there. Hold me in your arms, don't let me go. I want to stay forever. Talking movies and the empty.
Play the theme tune.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show.
With me,
boom,
Tim Goodings.
Hello.
And you,
Andy
Price.
Hello.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
I'm hosting.
Okay. So this week we will be our guest, as you've seen on the episode title, is we are struggling this week to find all the actors, all the big guys, big boys, big girls, big ladies have gone to the Edinburgh Movies Festival, which happens throughout all of August, sort of take over the whole city, and there's lots of performances and such.
We got a pretty good last-minute guest, though, up-and-coming actor.
We struggled to find someone, but in the end we did actually manage to get Tim Goodings.
Yeah. Why do you reckon he didn't go up to the Edinburgh Movies Festival?
I think he's been lost to America. I think he's just
that's fair enough. Yeah, he's at the
American Movies Festival.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. So, well, let's talk a bit more about this Edinburgh Movies Festival, because even though it's probably the biggest fringe movie festival in the whole world.
The Edinburgh Fringe Movies Festival.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not your Cannes, it's not your American Movies Festival, but it is.
It's really the Butch to the Sundance Film Festival. Ah. It's much more Butch because they are Scottish.
Yeah.
And aggressive. Let's explain how the premise of it, if people don't know, not familiar with the Edinburgh Movies Festival.
Well, the thing is, most actors come out with one film a year, and then just after a year, they just throw it away. So what they do is every year they go up to the Edinburgh Movies Fringe Festival for a month, and they just show their movie every single day, and they do press, and they do maybe guest spots on like panels at other people's shows where they show the movies. And it's just that kind of thing where, if we're only going to show this year, no one's going to see it again. We'll just show it in one big run. Mm-hmm. And then they come back down, they make another movie.
Yeah, exactly. And throughout the year, that's what they're doing. We've just passed through preview season. You get movie previews, trailers, that sort of thing, where you can go to special nights in, you know, big cities.
Usually a bit cheaper.
A bit cheaper. You can see work in progress movies.
Yeah. Maybe a first cut.
Yeah, exactly. Rough cut, sort of unedited.
If it's a comedy film, sometimes less funny than the final product ends up being.
Yeah, but it's not just comedy. I mean, there's a lot of different genres of movies that they do.
Yeah, like horror, less horrible, maybe the
less
previews.
Less horrible.
Yeah, less documenting for the documentaries.
There's some that aren't documented enough.
Or anything at all.
No.
That's when the panic really sets in. You get to the end of July and you haven't documented anything.
Nothing has
for
been
your
documented
documentary.
At all.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. You just kind of stood in these empty preview rooms with just the people that are just kind of going, Mm-hmm. Where's the document? There exactly. you go. I barely got anything. Yeah. I'll just talk to the crowd for a bit, see if that ends up being documented. So most of our previous guests are up in the Edinburgh Movies Festival.
Oh, if you're there, listener, get in touch. Tell us what movies you've seen.
Please.
What's good, bad? What's great, shit? What's
okay,
everything.
Fine.
Okay, fine. How do they get in touch with us, Andy?
The at TMPMS how.
Yeah, the at TMPM show.
Twitter handle.
At TMPM show on Twitter.
What's the Facebook one? The Facebook one. It's just TMPM show, isn't it?
Or if you really like the show, and you should, because this is a great show, you can get onto iTunes, which is where it sometimes is, or Apple Podcasts, or any other places, and give us a rate review ring, but especially on iTunes, because that's where it matters. Give us a rating of 5 stars and review us and say, oh, wasn't that bloody good?
Oh, wasn't that bloody good? Should we give them some laughs?
People do is they say, they give them a suggestion of something to write, because don't know what to write.
Yeah, so it's just say, this movie... podcast is effing great.
But say,
you
don't say fucking, say effing.
Your mum would like it. Your dad would like it. Your little brother probably would also like it. And so you should download it. And you download it by you go onto your podcast app and you search for the Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show. Yeah. And then you download it all the time, every time. And then write... hello, this is an email to everyone I know. This link to this podcast is the best. Five stars.
Yep.
So just write that verbatim
for the review.
It's like a calling card, then we'll know that, you know, this works. And yeah, it'll be nice. That's how you know. Oh, and leave 5 kisses at the end as well.
Do we have Marvel news this week? I can't remember.
Oh, okay. So the Marvel news. People will have noticed that we usually start the episode with Marvel news because there's so much to get through. So we have to get through all the Marvel news and then see if there's enough time for the rest of the episode and the interview. But this week, obviously, we haven't started with Marvel news because, as we've explained, everyone's at the Edinburgh Movies Festival. You know, and it's not just
And that's where Marvel is.
And that's where Marvel news, of course. That's where they make their big announcements. They have their panels.
Early
they
screenings.
Show all of next year's movies at the Edinburgh Movies Fringe Festival.
They train up their little actors to get them to do their own solo shows. And sort of say, if you do a whole month of Spider-Man, then the next one, you could even
you
be
could
better
be
at
Spider-Man.
I think he already is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's because of last
if
year.
If he is.
And he was.
Was he?
Yeah.
There we go. That's how it works. That's how the Movies Fringe Festival works.
So we don't have it because obviously it's all being held back for the Movies Festival. Mm. Right. Should we get to the guest?
Mm. We got the actor Tim Goodings coming in, which is very good. It's very exciting. Very good of him to come in at such late notice. But I was going to say, Tim.
Goodings.
I was going to...
Tim Baddings, more like.
Well,
he probably hits that all the time.
Funny.
He probably hits that all
he probably
time.
Does as well, but deservedly.
Well, I think he's... I've not seen his movie. Have you seen it, haven't you?
I saw a test screening. Well, this is the thing. Like, I was going to get a cup of coffee before we started this.
You've got one there?
No, that's a cup of tea.
Oh, okay. Well, what's that cup next to it?
That's your cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Fucking idiot. So what... I was thinking maybe you could go out and get me a coffee, like from Costa or Starbucks or something. Because, I mean, I'm just looking at my calendar here.
Now?
In my calendar, I've got have a cup of coffee and do an interview with the actor Tim Goodings.
Well, I've just got the interview
and
mine.
You've just got the interview in yours. So, because I've got like...
Mine
already,
doesn't say that I should go and get coffee.
But I've got more things to do in mine, so I'm busier. So if you could go out and get my coffee, that would save me a job and I'll just sit here and do the interview and...
Well, I reckon I'll make it back in time, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we'll find out, I guess.
I think I'll make it back in time.
Yeah, cool. Well, if you hurry.
Which one do you want me to go to?
The one 15 miles away.
Costa?
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Okay.
So if you start walking now.
What sort of walking?
Yeah.
Can I not borrow your car?
No.
Okay. Why?
It's
in the shop.
It's outside.
Oh, and so, I'm inside.
Exactly. So you won't be able to.
I'll be able to get it.
So if you start walking now, you might get back for the...
What coffee do you want?
Could I get an espresso?
Just an espresso?
Single espresso, please. But could you also ask them just to give me like a half measure because it'll be a bit strong otherwise.
A half espresso?
Yes, please.
Okay. And you really, you don't have any coffee in your house here, studio?
Yeah, but I...
It's not as good.
It's not as good.
Costa, it's proper coffee, isn't it?
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got Kenko. It's not proper.
Okay. Well,
if you hurry, you'll make it back in time for listener questions.
Has he Is he arriving?
He's going to give me a call when he's downstairs.
Okay, great.
But all just right, send right. him up if you go past him on the stairs. You know what he looks like?
No, I don't actually.
He's about 6'1".
Yep.
Blonde hair.
Tons of fun.
Beautiful blue eyes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll probably be struck down by his beauty then when I walk past
Yeah,
him.
Don't fall down the stairs. Get me that fucking coffee.
Bye.
Bye. Don't touch that dial.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to the Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show. My name's Andy Price, and Tim Goodings isn't here, as we explained in the last segment. But with me today is the actor, Tim Goodings. Welcome to the show, Tim Goodings.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
It's nice of you to finally come on the show after all the invites.
Oh, I only got one. I only got the most recent. Well, I assume it's the most recent one from 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah, that's the only one I sent, but...
Oh, okay.
That's like four guests
again. Well, yeah, I'm glad that I could find a time on my schedule to hop along to your little, do you want me to use the word
podcast.
Studio?
It's called a podcast.
No, but this place, is a you call it a studio?
No, it's my living room.
Yeah, but I mean, you want me to, just for the purposes of this, do you want me to say that it's a studio or...
Why, do you think that would make it sound better?
I think you want it to sound better, because if I actually accurately describe it, you know, I don't think people would want to.
Why
wouldn't
you accurately describe it? And we'll let the listener decide whether we're running a professional.
Well, there's a lot of taxidermy, and I don't know if that's something that you want to advertise.
We all need hobbies.
Okay, it's fine. If you're happy,
what's wrong with taxidermy?
Well, I mean, the positions that you put some of them in, I don't think is entirely appropriate.
What do you mean? There's nothing wrong with, like, two hedgehogs 69ing.
Maybe you should tell me before I walk in about the taxidermy, or I can just act like I would if it was the first time again that I'd seen it.
All right, go on.
Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, fine. All right.
Are you seeing? I moved them all when you were out of the room.
I was just. That's how I acted the first time. I was doing it again.
The actor Tim Goodings, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Now we're here to talk about your movie that's come out.
Yeah.
Came out this week. Is that right?
It came out in America this week. It's coming out in England next week.
Lovely. So you've done your American leg of the press tour.
No, I'm still doing that. I mean, I'm still kind of back and forth at the moment. Just so it's pretty hectic.
That explains the bags, or is that for a role?
No, I'm just tired.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've got to shoot off after this pretty quickly. I've got a hard out, as they say. I can't stick around too long. Got to be off to do Fallon.
Have you met Fallon before?
Yeah, we're good pals. James, I call him.
Why'd you call him that?
Because his stage name's Jimmy, and I think he likes to differentiate between the two sides of his personality. Very dour off stage.
His real name's Thomas, so I don't know where you're getting James from.
Yeah, well, that's... but then his middle name is James, so he goes, like, by that, James on the off stage, Jimmy on stage. and Thomas when you were with his parents. I've not met them, but I understand they're nice.
And that's the anecdote you're taking on his show?
I've never met his parents, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's pretty good.
Because he goes, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know if you've seen Tonight Show, I don't know what it's called, but he generally asks people if they've met his parents because okay. he likes to pretend he's friends with everyone. Luckily, I actually am.
So what's going to be your punchline to that story?
I'll say, who's your daddy? Because I've never met his dad, so I would sort of, and that'll be, and then, you know, what Americans are like, they'll fall over themselves for me at the stage door afterwards, probably. Get some action, hopefully.
From?
The audience.
From an American?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, fine. You ever had one of them? Braver man than me.
You ever had one?
Oh, several.
Yeah, what were they like?
Well, they're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Giving.
Mm.
Rewarding.
Are you describing your taxidermy pets again?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's not. Let's
the
not
fox is an American fox.
Megan?
No.
Oh, are you sure?
It's Jamie.
American.
Called it Jamie. It's a man.
Oh, of course. Sorry. That makes so much more sense to what you're doing to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a question about the movie.
Oh, you do have some questions. That's good.
Well, I have one.
I've got to say, I've done a few interviews leading up to, I mean, this is not by no means the climax of my press tour.
So what number is this movie?
What number is it?
Yeah, that's my question.
You mean how long is it?
No. How many movies?
It's
number
just
is
one
it?
Movie.
But that you've done.
What number movie this is...
Is this?
It's actually is, and it's 8.
And is this the first one that's set in America?
No, it's the first one shot in America.
Oh, okay, so like,
but they were all. I mean, obviously not all of them are. So a lot of them were set there, but most of them, okay. Mostly. I mean, I'm trying to kind of break America at the moment. I've managed to actually, you know, get in with a studio.
Well, I mean,
over there
as our listeners will know, that whenever a British actor such as yourself then goes on and does a movie in America or set in America, we automatically lose them to America. So
that's right.
Are we quite lucky to have you in the studio today?
Yeah, I mean, I just hope that the listeners are not too...
Is this your only bit of press in the UK?
No, I will be doing some others, but okay. I want to just put out a sort of little PSA for anyone listening. I apologise that I'm very aware that I've kind of picked up the accent. After having been there.
Because you go up at the end of...
Yeah, I go up at the end of every sentence. Do you want to ask me a question about the movie?
That's rude.
Yeah.
But, well,
I've been in America. It's the dialect, it's the accent. Maybe I should say it in my original accent and it will sound.
Go on.
Could you talk to me about the movie? And you see, that's how I used to sound before I went to America. But now, obviously, I've got the...
Who is your vocal coach?
Prince.
Ah, so who is it now?
Well, I've reached the, you know, I managed, luckily, my last class with him was the week before he died.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't there.
And that's why he killed himself?
No, when he died.
Oh, okay,
I wasn't.
Fine.
I wasn't there.
Okay. Why would you be?
No, exactly. I wasn't there. And so...
Sounds like you were there.
No, it doesn't. I just said I wasn't. Yeah, and that was a combination of a few years worth of work, and obviously before that, you know, it's really down to Prince that I sound like this.
Okay.
I mean, you can hear the influence.
I mean, I can see it and hear it.
Yeah.
Which is...
Go on, what would you say descriptively like, about my appearance, would you say is...
It's mostly the moustache.
The moustache.
Purple
clothes.
The skin tone as well, probably.
I have to admit, that's actually for the role. That's not...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I play a really tanned guy.
Because you're originally white. Is
well,
that right?
The character is white.
Were you born white?
I was born sort of like off-white, like duck egg.
Eggshell.
That's it, duck egg shell. Yeah. So it was a bit blue when I was born because of the umbilical cord on my neck. But and then I got a bit pinker and then very pale. And then I just tanned up for this role. I'm not playing a darker skinned race. I'm just playing someone who's lived in America for a long time.
Tan white.
Tan.
And what does that add to the... the role, what is this, why is this character so
tanned? It's
just
getting character, Andy. It's really just me being method and just sort of really like this, because I read the script and it was like, this guy's lived in like, you know, America for ages.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what, you know, what if I was to do that? What would I look like?
Mm.
And so obviously I bleached my hair and tanned my skin and just carried a surfboard around with me everywhere and a cowboy hat.
Talk about the voice you were doing.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, you know, you're hearing a little preview of it now. Based on you know, the fact that I've just been doing it. And I was, you know, I'm very, as I said, I'm method. I was doing the accent on set, even when we were not filming. I'm very much like Daniel Day-Lewis in that sense. He was very complimentary of my performance.
Can you still call his role a cameo if he was in it for like the most majority of the film?
No, and that's why we haven't. We've called it, he's co-starring with me.
Is that right?
He came out of retirement for this movie, which is very nice of him.
Oh, presumably when it was shot, he wasn't retired yet.
You could presume that, yeah.
So this is his last film, essentially?
Well, it will be.
Oh, wow.
If he retires again.
Okay, so you shot this film, what, like 4 weeks ago?
Roughly.
Oh, okay, and it's already been edited. Has it got a soundtrack?
It's being written.
Who did the soundtrack?
Well, at the moment, because we're really rushed through, we're doing it old school, so we've got like a live pianist at every cinema just scoring it as it's going on. So there will be scenes where, because of that, and they can't get the balance right, the dialogue has been taken out and they just replace it with the text
right
in between.
So I've seen some test screenings, and when the music comes in sometimes during a particularly dramatic scene, I heard just like a gasp at one point, and I was like, I'm the only one in the cinema because it was a test screening, and it was like, I didn't gasp. Why is there a gasp? And that's because you've been recording it live at other screenings.
Yeah, so we've had to take, obviously, we realised that some of the live scoring was so good.
Yeah.
We were like, well, we can't keep hoping that this is going to be recreated every single time. So we just filmed a few of them.
Yeah.
Found the best one of the test screenings, and that's just up there. So you do get a bit of audience reaction in there. Did you hear the argument in the second scene
between the
couple and the guy sat behind them? Obviously, you can tell.
That's not part of the film?
No, that's not like... ideally, we wish people would think that was just like happening off screen.
Right, okay.
But they are in a field alone.
There's atmosphere.
Two characters. So it doesn't make sense that would really...
It doesn't.
No.
No.
It was... My understanding is, and I wasn't in that screening, but the pianist told me that there was a couple... The guy sat behind the man.
Yeah.
He was just like spitting on his neck.
Yeah.
And then rubbing it in.
Oh. Yeah, all right.
And then he would like just keep doing that. So the guy got obviously a bit annoyed, and to spite him, started like kissing his girlfriend really fiercely, because the guy was on his own, the other guy. And then they got into a little bit of a...
And that's how the movie got its R rating.
Spit spat. Yeah, because he was swearing quite a lot, and actually there's no real sexual or drug or bad language.
Well, it's supposed to be a family film, if I understand rightly. It's
supposed to be, sure, but now we're lumped with this fucking R rating, 18 rating.
Does it also explain why the movie has a laugh track? It's just people laughing along to the... So you just put
that
an
was
actual...
in there anyway.
Okay, so you
that's
put...
That's on set.
That's the crew laughing.
That's the crew really enjoying some of my antics. I mean, again, some of it is improvised because I got so into the character, Andy, that I would just really, and just enjoy doing the accent so much, so I would just really just let myself go crazy. I'm a big improviser, as you know.
So, well, I mean, I just want to check on something because, I mean, I know movies. Yeah, I know how movies are made and all that kind of shit.
Well, this is a movie podcast, isn't it? That's my understanding.
Is it?
I've never listened to it, so I don't know, but...
Are you an actor?
Yes.
Oh, it must be. I must have been thinking of another podcast.
I'm a good actor.
Ah. So, in order for the crew's laughter to appear on the audioscape of this movie...
You know, in it, yeah.
They must have, like... You must have employed extra boom operators to have the boom mics above the crew as well.
But it was so funny that the laugh...
It was
so
that loud.
Yeah. That we were like, we could do ADR, but why? When the laughs are in there and then the audience knows when to laugh.
And do they? And,
well, did you laugh?
No.
Yeah. No, I bet you did.
No, I didn't. I was on my own.
Well,
I don't laugh
on your
own.
Exactly. Every screening I've been to, I've been laughing very loud. So
have you been with other people at them?
A couple, yeah.
Yeah,
director,
what about on your own?
Daniel Day and the other director.
Director, Daniel Day, or director and Daniel Day? Did he direct this?
No.
Okay, who directed it?
Paul Feig.
Oh, okay. And that's why it's a comedy.
I wouldn't say that's why it's a comedy.
I'd say it's R-rated.
A comedy is why he directed it.
Oh, okay. So he didn't know going in that it was
a
comedy.
No, he did. And that's why he directed it.
Oh, okay. So if you came to him with a drama, he'd just go, fuck off, mate.
Well, he doesn't do drama.
Never.
Have you seen his films, Andy?
No.
Well, I have.
Who is he?
This one. Actually, you have, because you've seen this film, so...
Well, I saw a test screening.
Of this film?
Well, Paul Feig, I can't be comedies. Sure. I see a lot of them.
Melissa McCarthy.
She's in it.
She was the... She was an advisor.
So she wasn't in it?
No, but she was on set a lot. She was my stand-in.
Did you not think to get her in for a cameo, or did Daniel Day-Lewis take up all the cameo
time? Oh, she's
time?
In a cameo.
Oh, okay. What
yeah, but she's not, she doesn't play a fool.
Tell us a little bit about the cameo.
Cameo is in the second scene, as I said, in the field.
Can you quickly explain the first scene so we know the context for this?
Okay, I mean, I don't want to spoil, because obviously that changes
it's
a lot
the beginning of the movie.
Okay, well, I'll just get... Yeah, it's a kind of like prologue that sets up all of the actions. So the first scene of the movie is me and Daniel Day. We are just in our living room, basically. Mm. Sort of sat shooting the shit.
Dicks out.
Whatever that means. And no, I mean, he was... So, okay, the joke he's making is he's undone his fly and put his finger through the hole.
Right.
And he's waggling it and he's going... Air to meet, because he plays a Scottish guy.
Ah, of course.
And because his accent was just fucking flawless. I like an American guy. And yeah. he's waggling it because he's sort of... I mean, he's a lot of jokes in the movie. Mm. He's Daniel Day, you know how comedic an actor
and did,
he is.
Did Paul Feig just read this first page of the script and go, yeah?
Hopefully he read the whole script, but at a certain point.
Well, would you?
But I think my understanding is, yeah, he was sort of
did
like...
Did you read the whole
finger
script?
Finger through the fly, I'm in.
Yeah.
Is what I understand. I read most of it, certainly.
Which bits didn't you read?
The bits that I made up.
Go on.
Well, these are the improvised scenes. I mean, so
you didn't read the improvised scenes? So you just made them up on the spot?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know, yeah.
Wow. And is Daniel Day a good improviser?
No, he's not. And he's actually... There's some scenes when they really had to... Okay, so... I don't want to have to reveal this, but as you're a podcaster that no one listens to, this will... So some scenes, when I'm doing my improvisation, the camera will just be rolling on me for a few minutes as I do my stuff. And then we'll get his reactions on the other side in the next take. And he doesn't understand what's happening. So I would have to dress up as Daniel Day... and be his character in the same scene.
So Daniel Day-Lewis is played by you?
In some scenes.
How many?
All the improvised scenes, which is the whole second half.
Right. So he basically was a cameo, but his character's in the whole thing.
Yes, but he's credited as that character, and I'm not credited as that character ever.
Oh, okay.
It's not supposed to be obvious. I did have a little bit of prosthetic going on. The Lincoln beard, the stovepipe hat.
Do the accent?
Well, again, this is the problem: is that I was doing a different accent to him,
a different Scottish accent to him.
No,
okay,
different accent entirely.
Right, okay.
What did you think it was? And I'll tell you if you're right or not.
I thought you were doing. I mean, it sounded very much towards the southern part of Jamaica. I could be wrong. It could be north. I don't know the nuances
That's
of
right,
the Jamaican
you are
accent.
Wrong.
Okay, it was north Jamaica.
No.
West.
None of them.
Oh.
It was
central.
It was some sort of Scandinavian.
Okay. Like Finnish. That's a sort.
It's one of the sorts. And I'm not great. This was my attempt at a Scottish accent and it came out.
It's
Scandi.
Scandi.
So, Andy.
Yeah?
No, sorry. And so, yeah, well, I'll just explain the scene. So we're sat there. We'll get to the improvisation.
Okay. Is this just after the fly scene?
This is what I'm saying.
So that was the
describing that scene. Yeah. So we're sat in the living room. He gets his finger out, dilly-do, waving it around, pretending that it's a male penis.
Mm.
And then an eagle comes in.
Yeah.
Thinking it's a worm, because his mime's not good enough that could be a penis.
And he's got a really small, thin finger.
Yeah, and it's segmented.
And ringed.
Yeah, it's got a mouth. And... Eagle comes in because I've left the window.
If you cut it in half, both pieces just wriggle off.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've left the window open because I'm a bloody klutz. That's my kind of character. It's a kind of odd couple sort of situation.
Okay. A lot of slapstick.
Yeah, a lot of slapstick. Eagle comes in. Daniel Day-Lewis slaps dick out of his hand.
Yeah. Well,
it's not a real dick, obviously. It's his finger. But he knocks it
inside
to the eagle, forgetting that he can just move the finger. He's got so into the mind that he thinks
it was his dick. Yeah.
He slaps dick just out of the path of the eagle.
But yeah.
It still gets it, grabs the finger, pulls his hand through his fly.
Yeah.
So he's now basically like a human pretzel. He's like knotted himself through his own trousers.
Oh, no.
It does take the finger off.
He looks like he's got a massive dick, though, at least.
No, because it's very obvious by that point that it is.
Okay, fine.
No one would make that conclusion.
I did.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, that's fair.
Eagle takes the finger off, flies back out the window.
Mm.
He's obviously screaming. He ties it up. And then we realise that eagle... So, just before this happened, we've seen on television that there's an eagle on the loose.
Mm.
That if you catch it, there's a reward. And the reward is that you get to keep it. And it's an expensive eagle anyway.
Yeah.
And it's escaped from the zoo. And in America, the LA Zoo.
Yeah.
And that's basically the mission of the movie, is we have to find this eagle... capture it, talk to it, tame it.
Would you say this is the first road trip movie to feature an eagle?
Why should I say that? What, have you got any others in mind? Or
I don't know. It's up to you whether you say it or not. I just asked, would you?
We don't tend to travel by road that much in it.
Planes, trains and automobiles?
Beagles, that's a dog. That's a totally different thing.
Planes, trains and automobiles.
That's excellent.
It's better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's not a dog.
Yeah,
it's an eagle.
It's not a dog, it's an eagle. anyway, the finger goes, blah, and then we find out that his wife's left him. The eagle, Daniel Day.
The wife's left Daniel Day-Lewis an eagle.
No, she's
in a will?
She sees this happen. She thinks that he's lost his cock.
Oh, so she leaves him.
So she's like, brutal. It's over. And he's like, and he doesn't know which way to go.
Because he doesn't have a personality.
And he wants his finger, but he wants his wife. And he goes, what if I get the finger back? Oh, I could expose myself quickly to her, but I'm in the room and I'm very bashful as a character. He doesn't want to expose his cock to his wife so that she knows that he's got a cock so that she doesn't leave him.
Right. Go on.
So he goes to get the finger from the eagle and I go with him because I'm his mate.
And how do you travel?
Well, we just kind of go off road. We get like quad bikes, and
so it's an off road trip.
Free diving. It's an off road trip.
Okay, yeah. That's where I got confused.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's an off road movie.
Sorry, that's the point where Tim usually asks a question.
Oh, who's so that?
He's my co-host on the podcast. We didn't. He was busy.
Where is he?
He went out to get me a coffee.
Is he likely to turn up again at any point during the interview? Or?
Probably not, because the nearest coffee shop's a good 10 miles away. In my car.
Are we better off without him, are you saying? You think it's not? We don't need him at all?
I mean, we went for half an hour or so there without any problems until just then when I forgot that I needed to ask his questions as well.
Oh,
do you want me to ask a few of his?
Because
I've got them here.
Yeah, you know what sort of questions he would normally ask.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, go on.
Here's one. Okay, first, he's double underlined this one as well. Any pranks on set?
Is that something that typically happens on movies then? People play pranks instead of being professional, or are they...
Well, we haven't asked that question much before, so I don't really know how many. We asked it once and they said yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, this isn't so much a prank because no one was doing anything deliberate, but it was a real eagle that we used.
I mean, in many ways, the whole movie is a prank because it's a comedy.
Do you want to hear the prank? I just wonder if you, or you don't care, and just Tim's the only one that cares.
Oh, I understand where the confusion's happened here. You don't realise that this is a conversation. So when I contributed just then, you were like, what? I haven't finished everything I was saying.
I thought it was an interview.
Because it's more important.
I thought it was an interview.
Because I'm an actor, and everything I say is more important than just some fucking podcast host.
Mike, did you get this around in this interview, Mike? Okay. Yeah, I'll finish it, but I just want to know who the fuck this guy is.
Is there a problem?
Yeah, I'm just talking to my PA. Okay.
Well, he can talk to my PA.
Who's that?
Well, you don't need to talk to him during the interview. He can then say himself.
Maybe I do.
Is he bored?
No, I'm just...
We can talk to Craig. Craig, talk to Mike. Keep him entertained.
Like, leave him alone. Ignore him.
I don't know why. Like, honestly, you're supposed to be doing this interview.
Yeah,
and you're talking to your PA because he's bored.
You're supposed to be doing this interview, Andy.
I did. Like, there was one point where I didn't ask a question. That's Tim's fault, technically. Any pranks on set?
Well, sort of.
Go on. I interrupted you again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Not so much a prank, but as I said earlier when you first asked the question poorly.
My name's not Paulie. It's Andy.
There was no deliberate prank sting, but there was the eagle was real. Real eagle. What the eagle would do is just sort of, and I don't know if you call this a prank, but it would just kind of attack me and scratch at the lens, thought the boom mic was like prey, and just like generally cause chaos. Very hard to kind of wrangle it. And the gaffer died.
Oh.
But, I mean, if we... I mean, I know why you've asked this question is because, obviously, in the press, we said prank gone wrong so that it seemed less serious.
Rather than just dies.
Man dies from eagle eye claws. Mm. But, yeah, he was just mauled.
Oh, God.
Right through the eyes, into the brain by the talons. All of that scooped fresh out, gulped it down, and then he was just like... And then we shut his eyes and you couldn't even tell. So that was good for the open casket.
So why did you decide to make the dedication at the start of the movie to the eagle rather than the gaffer, considering the eagle didn't die?
Because frankly, the eagle's had a lot of bad press after this, and he might find it difficult to find work.
Oh, really? Is he like...
The gaffer, it's not an issue for him anymore. He's
dead.
So the eagle is sort of like, I mean, he's the main eagle that you get in any movie.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, name a movie with an eagle in.
Eddie.
No, that's the skier, but I see where the confusion is.
Oh.
But, you know, maybe now name a movie with an actual eagle in.
Lord of the Rings.
They were CGI, but okay. Now if you name another one, it probably will be it.
What's the one? It was the guy's pet in the mask.
Wasn't that a dog?
A beagle's a dog.
Oh, goodness me. Okay. No, it's an eagle.
What's an eagle?
Were you picturing a dog this whole time?
Well, yeah, that's what a beagle is. It's a type of dog.
Okay. No, the eagle was called Beagle.
Oh, okay. But it was.
It is an eagle.
It is an eagle.
Which is a bird of prey.
I did question it because I thought, I didn't think that dogs had wings. But then I thought maybe the wings were CGI.
You should continue to think that, frankly. You should continue to think that, Andy, because they just don't. Which bit would you like me to explain? Anything more about
why the eagle is called Beagle?
Because it rhymes
with
Steven
Seagal.
Yeah, he voiced it.
How... Obviously, Steven Seagal is very well known as being like a hard man action star. So to put him behind a microphone in a studio, do you think that's restrictive?
Sorry, he didn't. Okay, he did voice it, but the eagle has a sort of split personality.
Okay,
so there's moments when it shows contrition for what's happened.
Yeah,
and in those moments, it is played by Jason Seagal.
Okay.
But when he's being more nasty and the bad side of his personality, that is Steven Seagal.
Oh, okay. Tell us a bit more about your character then, because obviously we've talked about the Eagle Beagle, we've talked about Jason Seagal, we've talked about Steven Seagal, we've talked about Daniel Day getting his massive cock out, turning into a human pretzel, having his arm. What were you doing this whole time?
I was just gawping.
So you play the best friend in this movie, presumably?
Yeah.
And what's your story arc?
Well, I... I kind of learned that, you know, not everything is a joke.
Because, despite being the comic relief.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is that to begin with?
Is that why you relieve nothing comically in the second half of the movie?
To begin with, I try to encourage D-Day to do some jokesters.
D-Day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, that's why he puts a finger through the zip. And that is obviously the inciting incident.
Yeah.
And that's is where all the bad stuff
what,
comes
what
from.
What thematic question does that inciting incident raise?
Is, you know, is jokes bad?
Is jokes bad?
And can they be? And should everything be a jokes?
And should everything be bad?
No, but they can be.
If they're jokes.
Not necessarily, but that can happen. There is a crossover sometimes, and that's where this movie takes place.
Okay, and that's the midpoint.
That's in the crossover.
Right, okay. And then it crosses over and you realise that
Nothing is jokes.
But could be.
But then at the climax, I realise that some things should be.
And you make a massive joke.
And I make a big joke at the end.
What was the big joke you make at the end?
Well, again, it's the same joke that I made to Thomas Fallon, James, to his friends, Jimmy, to the audience, is I just say, because D-Day's dad shows up at the end.
Played by
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
That's when he finally gets the finger back. By that point, it has, I mean, it's obviously rotted. Like, yeah. It's dead. There's no way you can reattach it. You can reattach it maybe for aesthetic reasons.
The body would reject it.
It would, well, just die. It wouldn't get any blood in it.
Yeah.
You know? So he's crying. He's saying to me, my character, who's called Paul.
Yeah.
After Paul Feig.
Yeah. What's your surname in the film?
League.
Paul League.
Paul League.
Paul League. Yeah.
So his and he's upset. He finds a finger. He realizes, oh shit, this is not gonna reattach. I mean, this is right at the end of this. We'd had a big road of trials the whole way, meeting with the goddess, atonement with the father, all that sort of stuff. And then we get there, and suddenly finds the finger. We get the eagle. We try to prosecute the eagle, but it turns out that it's entirely like you can't prosecute an animal. It's not against, like, it's not done nothing against the law. It is fully legal what it's done.
Yeah.
So he was just like, I need you to do something for me, Paul. League. Can you call my dad?
Yeah.
And I look at the eagle because he's kind
wagging
of
like, his tail.
He's sort of nodding and.
Yeah.
Shedding
that's how they, that's what wagging the tail means. Is just nodding.
It's just the tail nodding.
Yeah. Dog nodding.
And the bird says like, oh, he feels bad about it, but he's kind of in control of everything.
Mm.
So in my mind, it's like this bird is it kind of created this whole situation for you. So do you want me to use your? Basically, what I say is, who's your daddy? Meaning, who should I phone, or is it the eagle is actually in control of everything? And that's the atonement with the father that I mentioned towards the end of the movie.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good.
So jokes, yes.
Jokes, yes.
Please.
Yes, please.
And thank you for the jokes in this film, which is called.
And it is one of those movies where you have the title of the name of the director at the front, like Lee Daniels the Butler.
Because oh, okay.
There is another movie with the same title. It's just to differentiate. It is called Feig's Legal Beagle the Eagle.
Uh-huh.
And Paul League.
Why is your character's name in the title?
What? You've never heard of a character name being in the title of a film before? Are you fucking insane?
You're not the lead character, though. You're the comic relief. You're the best friend. Like, the main character is D-Day Lewis.
Yeah.
What's his name in the film?
Edvard.
Edvard, so why isn't it
Grieg.
Paul Feig's Legal Beagle the Eagle with
Grieg and League?
Yeah, why is it not that?
No, it is.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah.
Feig's Legal Beagle the Eagle with League and Grieg.
With League and Grieg?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's almost like a Harold and Kumar get the munchies, but it's
no one gets the munchies.
It's Paul Feig.
Any drugs in this?
Legal
both
Beagle.
Don't
the
go to White
Eagle
Castle
with League and
Feig's Legal Beagle. The Eagle
go to White Castle
with Grieg and League, or with League
to get
and
the munchies.
To get the munchies
from Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, so we're just about wrapping up here. One
what
question:
have we learned about what happens in the film?
We've learned a lot about what happened in the film.
What did you think of the wacky race montage in the movie?
I thought it was tasteless, if I'm honest.
What did you think of the Fred Flintstones montage in the movie?
That was erudite.
Thank you. Thank you. When I was banging on the bathroom door when he was trying to sort out, he was like, is it a finger or is it my cock?
Who played Fred Flintstone in this?
We got John Goodman back, actually.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely.
But he's too thin now, so it didn't really...
So what, didn't you just get him to play Barney or something?
Too tall.
Ah, who played Barney?
Rick Moranis again.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Came out of retirement for it.
Yeah, just that's brilliant. A lot of people come out of retirement for this.
He's a musician now, isn't he, Rick Moranis?
I don't know. I didn't speak to him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Out of choice?
Yep.
What was the choice?
His choice.
His choice. Yeah. Okay, he chose not to speak to you.
He chose not to speak to anyone. He wasn't that talkative.
Okay. So he didn't do any of his lines?
No.
Okay, that's a shame.
I mean, he had a fucking monologue. He had like a 3-page monologue.
Did he? Did he just sing it?
He tried to kind of mime it. And actually, what's lucky is that that is the part of the movie where we can just put the text over it while it's being live scored by a pianist.
Okay.
So we just have a shot of him looking blankly, like, at nothing, looking angry because he's in that shot he is being shouted at by the director to do the lines.
Mm.
And we just put the monologue up on the screen and you can just read it. You have to read it pretty quickly, though, because it all goes by very fast.
Okay.
It's just kind of about how the Flintstones is a sort of satire on technology and modern culture.
Go on.
But, I mean, it's obviously not.
Yeah.
Because it's a cartoon.
So the whole middle section of this movie is animated?
No. But the Flintstones was a cartoon, if you remember.
So that segment wasn't animated?
No.
So it's not the Flintstones?
They play the same characters.
I mean, you literally just said the Flintstones was animated.
Yeah, well, he plays Barney Ribble.
Barney Ribble?
Mm-hmm. And John Goodman plays Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
Which are in the Flintstones. Those
right.
Those characters are.
Yeah.
But they're not in this film animated.
So did you animate John Goodman or did he just do the voice?
He's a very
for
animated
it?
Man, but he did the voice.
So he is a cartoon. John Goodman's a cartoon.
He is, yeah. But
Fred Flintstone isn't.
But Fred Flintstone in this film isn't. So he played live action man, but Rick Moranis didn't know fuck all. He got him in the costume at the most.
So did you have to fill in for him as well?
For some of it.
Okay, for the improvisation mm-hmm. scenes.
Well, yeah, the improvisation. Again, John Goodman can't improvise as well.
No.
So when there was that scene when we were stuck in the bathroom and like John Goodman's banging on the door, he's doing that whole thing.
Yeah.
Then I have to... I start improvising a potential fake Flintstones plot.
Yeah.
Because we need a lot of filler in this movie. Because it is really just us catching up with an eagle after about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And they weren't really, they weren't really keeping on top of it. So I was just making this fake Flintstones storyline where Fred gets an STD and...
Which one?
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus
was a character from Greek myth who was forced to roll a stone up a hill.
So basically, the middle part of this film is just an episode of the Flintstones.
And Wacky Races. And Scooby-Doo.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Now, before we end, I understand that you, even though the score was scored live at the test screenings,
mm-hmm.
A single that was released alongside this movie. It came out in the US last week. It's gone straight to the top of the charts. It's coming out in the UK this year, this fucking week.
Yep.
And I was wondering if you could maybe do, because I understand it was you that the wrote it and performed on it.
I'm glad you understand that.
So if you, would you mind doing a little...
No, I wouldn't mind.
Go on then.
I'll just do it, shall I?
Yeah.
Ed Von Grieg put his finger through his fly. His friend Paulie said why. An eagle flew in. Eagle the beagle flew in.
snapped up that finger, and away he did fly. Eagle, eagle is an eagle called Beagle. Beagle the eagle, we ran away to catch him. Ran through a field and we met John Goodman. Locked in a bathroom, making up an episode of the Flintstones with Rick Moranis. Improvised, but still good. Eagle, Beagle, the Eagle, Eagle. The funny hat. We caught the finger from his mouth. We had searched north and south and east and west for the finger. We found it in an office on the west coast. The song.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Goodings. Say thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Bye. All right, that was the end of the interview. Gonna move on to listener questions now.
Oh,
thank God for that. I thought I was gonna have to ask myself some questions.
No, I'm back.
You missed the...
There we go, mate.
Thanks, mate. You missed. Oh, was it cold?
Oh. Did you not want it cold?
I did actually, yeah, thanks.
Oh, good.
It's good that you knew
that's
that. Because you know how I like it.
I bought it hot.
It's
gone cold.
Did you pass Tim Goodings on the stairs?
He's gone?
Yeah.
Have you done the interview?
No, we're on listener questions now. We've done the interview.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Well, I couldn't. He only had a window and you were too busy getting his fucking coffee.
You let him take one of your windows?
No, he left through the window.
Oh, I see.
He left it
because
there.
Because the car was outside. So
well, exactly. I lent him my car to drive back.
Oh, fine. All right, well, maybe I'll get you to get me coffee next time. See how you like it.
Yeah, maybe you will.
So we're just doing listener questions now?
Yeah. You pick any out of the bag?
Yeah, I got the bag.
All right, pick it up.
I got that out of the mailbox.
Oh, that looks heavy.
There we go. Bag of mail. Shall I get a letter out of the bag of mail?
Please.
Okay, here it is. It's a letter. This one is from Josh Preston. And
from?
Josh Preston.
Yeah.
It's from Preston.
Cool.
And he's...
That's impressive.
In Preston. Yours is better. He's 16 and he... he's... Right. Well... I agree with Josh, because he said, Andy, where's Tim gone?
And this is postal as well. So
I got it on the way up.
He must have got it on the first post.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Tim? I'm glad Royal Mail was privatised, because this wouldn't have happened before.
Josh?
What's the question?
He said, Andy, where's Tim gone?
Well, I explained that you've gone to get a coffee.
He's an idiot. I mean, I agree with him in that, like, I'm glad that he's asking the question, but we all know.
You didn't need to ask
it's
the question.
Really.
Yeah,
so it is. Throw it in the bin. So burn it.
Yep, I got one from Samuel McSamuel from Sunderland. And he says, Andy?
Has he written that inflection in, has he?
No, I just presumed.
Ah, never presume. I'm Andy? Making three out of you and me.
Andy?
Mm? I shouldn't respond to that. I'm just saying.
How many times have you and Tim gone to the...
What is it?
I mean, I could just read out what you're saying there.
I want you to.
I thought you were trying to guess, so I was
why
like...
Why are you stopping?
Well, because you started saying words.
Has he put in loads of ellipses?
No, he's not putting any. He's just put the words.
It's just you there, is it? Fucking it up.
It's not me. You just started interrupting
What's
me.
What's the last bit?
How many times have you and Tim been to Pizza Hut after the movies?
Which movie?
Any movies we go to.
Any movies?
Yeah. How many times have we been to Pizza Hut after it?
We mention this every episode.
I mean, we usually go to McDonald's, so...
Yeah, he should know that we go to McDonald's every episode. Every episode we mention that we go to McDonald's after every screening.
I have my 20 chicken nuggets share box. Tim has his...
Big Tasty.
Big Tasty.
With bacon.
And fries?
As a meal.
Yeah.
As a rule.
And you have a Fanta with yours as well, don't you? Which I always think is weird, because what's a McDonald's without a bottled water?
Yeah, and I get a free student cheeseburger because I have a forged NUS card.
Oh, well done. Uh-huh. Well done.
Yeah, never. The answer is never. We never went to Pizza Hut.
We went to Nando's once.
Oh, I remember that.
I had, to start, I had like a half chicken with the Which medium half? Spicy, the left half. And then...
Not the front half.
No. Then for my second course, I had the other half of the chicken. It was a left half of another chicken.
Well, I mean, what I'm going to ask, Andy, was it bad at dancing? Because it would have had two left feet.
I didn't ask it to dance.
No. Well, why would you? It's dead.
But it did. Oh. And you're right.
Ah, oh, good.
Yeah.
And what is the sauce you had again?
Oh, it's the medium spicy one. It's quite intense.
Would you describe it as cheeky?
I describe it as chickeny.
Cheekney. That's the... Because I think people say cheeky Nando's.
No, they're saying you want to go for a chickeny Nando's. That's what they're asking. What's a cheeky Nando's?
Chickeny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They want like, oh, but a really chickeny one. Like, it's like a Nando's has got loads of chickeny.
What's a cheeky? Like an ox cheek?
What's
or...
a cheeky? Yeah.
That's weird.
I know. Birds don't have cheeks. They've got beaks.
Exactly.
Beaks, not cheeks.
A beaky Nando's. That would make more sense.
Chickeny Nando's.
We did once go to Papa John's.
Oh, it was Papa John's.
Remember, and we went in there, and we were in there for like maybe like a minute, and then we both were looking at the menu, and you were like going, oh, maybe a margarita, and I was like, oh, I might have the seafood one. Yeah. And then both of us just looked at each other and just went, I don't fucking like pizza.
Yeah, I don't. I actually am
allergic to it, so we didn't.
And then we went in the next time. Remember that?
Yeah.
The next time we went into Papa John's.
And then we were like, Papa John's, let's go to Pizza Hut.
Well, we obviously said that.
Yeah.
And that's very much the Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
And we've been there ever since, every time.
Well, it was the open buffet, wasn't it? So we never left.
Yeah. We only go to Pizza Hut now.
I mean...
So to clarify the question, we go to Pizza Hut all
every
the time.
Every time.
But we used to only go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Chickeny Nando's once, Papa John's twice, accidentally.
I hope that answers your question, Samuel. Thank you.
We don't like pizza, but we like huts.
Oh, yeah.
And dough balls.
I don't like the no balls. No, I don't like the dough balls. When they come over and they're like, do you want dough balls? I say no balls.
And do they react to that in the way you want them to?
They react to it by shitting in my Diet Coke.
But you still drink it.
Well, I can't tell because they're both brown.
Thanks for all the listener questions.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.